Welcome to the SB Live California podcast. Connor Morissette here with Lance Smith and Bodie Da Silva, like we are every week. Before we get going, I want to take a moment to tell you about something exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest California high school sports news, scores, videos, polls, photos, podcasts, player rankings, and much more. With the SB Live Sports app, it is now even easier to follow your favorite team with real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, player rankings, game coverage, and much more. The app delivers all the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's your number one source for California high school sports fans. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. All right, we got a little over a week to go here in the COVID-shortened high school season. Bodie, we'll start with you. How's everything going? How are you?
Yeah, just another week, exciting playoffs. Obviously, basketball, there was so much this past weekend. Exciting games just all over the San Diego section. I think of the 12 championship games, boys and girls basketball. I believe 11 of them were single-digit games. So we really saw some great action. I know the three or four that I saw Saturday at Montgomery were all within 5 or 6 points. So not that anyone picked the brackets per se and put these teams in order, but definitely seemed like these teams were prepared for each other. Coaches did a great job, and we saw so many great matchups.
Lance, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. Everything's been such a whirlwind going from one sport to another sport. Regular season starts, and then it feels like 3 days later, they're already deep in the playoffs. But it's a fun time.
Certainly. I figured we'd start with this, and then we can get into whatever else we want to talk with. But with so much going on, I think, Bodie, for you, this will be easy. So we'll start with him, and then Lance, we'll give you a little time to think, and I have one as well. With all that's going on, what is the best thing that you guys have seen from your coverage in the past week since we last did the podcast? Like I said, Bodie, I think I know yours, so I'll give you the floor first, and then I can go, and Lance, we'll wrap up with you. But I wanted to start this way. With all that's going on, baseball, we're deep in the playoffs, basketball, section playoffs are done, and now we're into the regional playoffs. So, Bodie, let's start with you. What's the best thing you saw in the past week?
Yeah, so a pretty easy one there in the Boys Open Division Championship on Saturday night. Torrey Pines' Nick Herman, a senior guard who a couple of years ago had to withdraw from school for the year while battling cancer in his leg, several surgeries, couple months in the hospital, not knowing if he was going to be able to play basketball again, what portion of his leg he'd even have left, and to work back 2 years later and have the ball in his hands in a tie game with a chance to win it and knock down that winning shot was a pretty storybook, and definitely made coverage post game pretty simple of the route I was going to go. So I'm really happy for Nick and the work he's put in. I know he really has put in so much time in the gym these last couple of years and really had been waiting just for that moment. So for them to do it, to keep their undefeated season going, a pretty special moment for him.
Yeah, amazing. For me, I have to talk about the spectacle that was that Sierra Canyon home championship defeat to Corona Centennial in boys basketball. The game was great. It was 39-39 at the half, and then Corona Centennial made a few more plays to win the game. We all know who was there. LeBron James was there because Bronny made his debut. Drake was there. J.R. Smith was there. Jared Dudley was there. And then a bunch of former players were there. Cassius Stanley for Sierra Canyon. So it was a real who's who. I thought the best moment of that game, besides obviously just what unfolded, which was Corona Centennial ending Sierra Canyon's bid to win three straight upper division championships in a row, which is almost unheard of. That hadn't been done since the 80s with modern day, so that streak continues. I thought the best part was Paris Dawson, who's playing at Portland State. He graduated from Corona Centennial a year ago, was not on the team this year. In the post-game scrum, I got to see him and head coach Josh Giles embrace, and Paris Dawson was bawling his eyes out, and he wasn't even on the team this year, and I thought that just spoke to the level of just love that goes on at that Corona Centennial program, and Paris Dawson kind of built the foundation of this team, if you will. I know they have Kylan Boswell, who wasn't with them in the past years, but they have a lot of guys who work closely with Paris the past couple years, and that was really cool to see just what it meant to him, a guy who wasn't even on the team for Centennial to win that championship. That's something that stuck out with me. It kind of reminded me of when I interviewed former Jay Sarah football coach Pat Harlow. He was drafted by the Patriots in the 90s, and then he spent a few years with them, ended up going to the Raiders. And the year after he left the Patriots, they went to the AFC Championship game, and they won, so they went to the Super Bowl. And a lot of the players called him and said, this was because of you, even though you weren't on the team this year. You really got us to this point, and I thought it was a similar kind of moment, which is really cool. So I didn't really write about that. I didn't get a chance to share that, so I thought this would be a good medium for that. Wanted to break that down and just give thoughts there. But that, I thought that was the best thing that I saw. Lance, how about you? Has to be from that girls' game, right? That championship. What a game that was.
Yeah, well, both of you just shared heartwarming, touching stories with depth that goes far past the hardwood. And I'm searching my mind from the past week, and I have absolutely nothing like that. But I'm glad to say on last weekend, I was treated to a modern-day Centennial girls basketball Open Division championship that lived up to all the hype and then some. The bar was set so high for this game. Two undefeated teams, two uncommonly great teams that could probably beat. Like, I would probably take both of these teams in a match with at least half of the Open Division championships of the past 6 or 7 years. And contrasting styles, all the stuff we've talked about all year. But I guess just what was so great about it is that it was so great that it was one of the few times I ever said, and I guess for those who don't know, it was Centennial led pretty much the whole game, mounted a late comeback, was down 10 points a couple, modern day mounted a late comeback. They were down 10 a couple times and just had an incredible finish. Lonnie White hit a buzzer beater. So kind of staying with Bodie's theme of undefeated teams hitting buzzer beaters to win championships and stay undefeated. But I guess just what was so great is that it was one of the only times in my life that I said, I just covered a game so good that I don't know how possible it is for it to be topped anytime soon, but it was so good that I'm even okay with that. And when you consider how high the expectations were for that game, both the quality of play itself and just how exciting it was, both of those components managed to live up to and even raise that bar. So that was the best thing I saw all week.
Awesome. Amazing. Yeah, I know what you mean when you say you've covered a game so good that you don't know when it'll be beaten. For me, the DJ Uiagalelei Bryce Young year when they were both battling that second year when they were seniors, for me, I don't know how a football season at the high school level will pass that. But, hey, that's why we keep showing up, and maybe sometimes something will. But I know exactly what you're talking about, Lance. Bodie, so let's go back to you. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on, either baseball, basketball, or anything else from the past week? And go ahead, and then from there, let's look ahead to what you're looking forward to covering and any opinions you have about what the rest of the high school sports season in San Diego will look like. So I'll just give you the floor. And I have a thought about Damian Torrey Pine, so maybe you can talk about that a little bit. But just take me back to anything that you else you want to talk about or forward to something that you're looking ahead to.
Yeah, so first off, just for San Diego boys basketball teams being in these state playoffs that they were in last night, regional playoffs, I should say, but of the 18 teams that were qualifiers, 17 were in action. Obviously, Torrey Pines had a bye, and they went 13-4 on the opening night. And I know so many times in the past, a lot of supporters of San Diego have gotten frustrated, teams getting road games and getting bad draws in these different brackets. But last night was really impressive for so many of these teams to step up. A bunch of teams went and got road wins. They had some difficult road trips, and I know it's going to get even more so. Santa Fe Christian's got to go up to Fresno tomorrow night, so there's more ahead. But I thought for opening night, that was really impressive for a year where just months ago, we didn't know if we'd ever see this and these teams to come together, especially after a lot of these lost their section championships, to come back just a couple days later, regroup, and say, hey, we've got a chance to play for something more. And in the smaller brackets this year, all it's going to take is a quick three-game run, and you're going to be able to grab an additional trophy. So For those teams that won, I know we're now going to see a couple San Diego matchups. Carlsbad's going to play Modern Day Catholic, and which is good for San Diego. You're going to get two really good programs, and one of them's going to be into the championship. So you've got a guaranteed good thing there. And talking about Damien, it's definitely going to be another battle for Torrey Pines. Damien, I've seen a couple times in past years when they've come down to tournaments and play in showcases in San Diego, and just always a team that I think of as is going to be prepared and have a bunch of guys ready to go at any challenge. So I'm sure that will be a big battle for them tomorrow night.
Yeah, what strikes me about Damien is they played St. Joseph of Santa Maria, who I had seen play Sierra Canyon earlier in the year. And take nothing away from St. Joseph of Santa Maria, they won the open division in their section. But you know how some teams in the state playoffs, they just don't have that level of intensity. They're just not into it. And that was St. Joseph last night. I mean, Damien scored 100 points. It was over after the first quarter. And I just think St. Joseph, they had a long trip, and they thought, okay, we already accomplished our goal this year, and we'll show up. And if we perform well against Damien, great. If not, we're happy because we did what we needed to do this year. Whereas Damien, on the other end, they didn't win the baseline league this year. They lost to Etiwanda twice, and one of them was on a buzzer beater. They didn't get out of their pool in the Southern Section Open Division. So they are desperate for a championship, and I thought we saw two different teams on two different levels last night of just where they're at. And I think – I know Torrey Pines is obviously desperate to prove that San Diego is a basketball city this year, and Torrey Pines is the clear best team and maybe even the best team in the state. So they're on their own mission. But I just look at Damien, and I think with Malik Thomas, their senior who already should be at USC, they should have him at practice already, but they're letting him play. This is his last chance to win something, and I think they're so, so motivated, and I think we're going to see a great game against Torrey Pines, and I think Damien will have a great shot just because they're desperate to win. And I know Torrey Pines is as well, but they did win in that crazy fashion to win their championship, so they have a title. I think when it gets really, really close, we'll just see Damien's desperation. And I haven't seen Torrey Pines, so I don't want to talk like I know exactly how they play and whatnot. But my warning to people in San Diego is that Damien is coming down there very hungry, and I think they have a great chance to win the game. That would be my opinion. But I mean, Bodie, just your – I know Torrey Pines, they're desperate to show, like I said, that they're the best team in the state. But, I mean, winning in that high fashion, it'll be tough to match – the adrenaline rush from that championship, that's for sure.
No question. Every year when I see these state games, you're always going to have teams when you have cross-sectional matchups that are just so motivated to prove that their section is the dominant one and want to represent. They kind of feel like everyone else in their section's on their back and they're trying to carry them. So I expect nothing less than that tomorrow night. That should be a great game.
In the bracket below, I think the winner of Harvard-Westlake and St. John Bosco will go on and win the championship, most likely against Roubaix Academy. And then in some of those other lower-level ones, it's a lot of rematches as far as the Southern Section is concerned. We see Santa Margarita Rolling Hills Prep playing in 2AA, and they played in the semifinals with Rolling Hills Prep winning, so maybe this gives Santa Margarita a chance to get some revenge. Los Altos plays Cree and Lutheran, which will be a great game. And then if Los Altos wins and Rolling Hills Prep wins, then that'll be a rematch of the 2AA Southern Section Championship. In 1A, Chaminade plays Capistrano Valley, and that was the championship in the Southern Section. And then you mentioned it earlier, Bodie, how Santa Fe Christian has to go all the way up to Clovis to play Clovis West, so that'll be a tough road trip. But hey, if they win, they'll be playing for a championship. I think in these little smaller brackets, we're so used to seeing a lot of rematches, but maybe even more so this year because of just – what needed to happen to make these teams play. But I'm excited for these championships because I think the vibe after Corona Centennial opted out was, oh, a lot of teams are going to Section 7. They're not going to take this serious. But I think what we're seeing is the flip side of that, which is, no, these teams are desperate to win a championship, the ones that didn't win, and the ones that did win and are still in, they want to win as well. I think Corona Centennial opting out made some people think, okay, people aren't going to take this as seriously as they would in years past. But after a round of this, that is not the vibe I'm getting. And it sounds like, Bodie, in San Diego, it's the same level of intensity as it would be in a normal year.
Yeah, the first bracket I'm looking at is with San Marcos, with Carlsbad in Division 2A. I saw them last night take down Murrieta Valley. Now they're going to get a matchup against a San Diego team, Modern Day Catholic, who won the Division I championship down here. And on the other side of the bracket, Long Beach Poly was the one seed and lost. So the winner of this game will get to host another game, and that would be for the championship, whether it's Fresno Central or Narbonne. So Carlsbad and Modern Day Catholic, the winner of that one's got a really big opportunity. And I definitely see both teams super invested in, regardless of the fact that Modern Day did win their division and Carlsbad was one spot ahead, which put them in the open division. But that's one I've circled that I think will be a great game, whoever gets to host that championship.
And Bodie, we'll get to baseball in a little bit. I have some thoughts on some baseball stuff, but Lance, we'll go to you. What are your observations and coverage plans for the girls' brackets?
Well, I don't have so we have games Thursday and Saturday already in semifinals and then finals. I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow. On Saturday, I imagine that if Modern Day and Centennial are playing again, which this time would be at Modern Day, I don't believe I could pass that up. We have a really intriguing semifinals, two open division semifinals. So in the open division with girls, Modern Day versus Cathedral Catholic. Cathedral Catholic was the only team besides Centennial to get close to beating Modern Day this season. And of course, Cathedral Catholic has one of the best bigs in California, if not the country, with Ice Brady. Of course, Modern Day is missing their starting center. So that could be an even more interesting matchup this time. And then Centennial is playing Clovis West. Clovis West is undefeated, hasn't come remotely close to losing to anybody. And I think they're 18-0, only about 15 of those teams, 13, 14 of them are really carry too much weight, but they've blown out Clovis, I think, three times. They smoked Buchanan, and they also played the top team in the Bay Area, which would be Stockton-St. Mary's. I think they beat them by 10 or so. So Clovis West is kind of this intriguing undefeated team. No one knows exactly how to gauge, or at least no one who's not in the central section watching them. Those are the top four seeds there. And then Division 1AA is all teams from the southern section open bracket. So that would be, last night I was at Orangewood Academy versus Carlsbad. Orangewood won that. They're playing Linwood. They already beat Linwood this season, but they are missing a couple wings who I think did a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of guarding Rhea Marshall. So that's going to be an intriguing rematch. And then we have West and Etiwanda, kind of tempted to go to that game. And anyone could win that bracket. All four of those teams are very much in the race to win. And then 1A is a repeat of some of the deep Southern Section Division I girls playoff games. So Long Beach is playing Esperanza only not even a week after blowing out Esperanza in the Division I finals. I talked to a couple coaches who were not sure why Long Beach Poly was in this bracket when they proved to be head and shoulders above all the other teams in the 1A bracket. But at the same time, you look at the bracket above them and it's like, where do you put them? So Long Beach Poly is in a prime position to follow up their Division I championship with a 1A regional championship. So on one side, you have Poly versus Esperanza. And then on the other side, you have Rosary Academy versus Fairmont Prep. And yeah, I mean, Poly's the clear favorite there. But those should still be some great games. And one thing I want to note is in 2A, you have El Camino of Oceanside versus El Camino Real. So we're going to see who is the real El Camino.
Amazing. That'll be fun. I'll be following that to see which El Camino wins out. That is funny. That's Thursday night, right?
Thursday, yeah.
Okay.
And I think it should be a toss-up.
There will be an El Camino champion. Awesome. Bodie, let's talk a little baseball. What's going on in San Diego right now?
Yeah, so it was a great day yesterday. So many elimination games. Looking at the open division, Grossmont was a team I circled when the brackets first came out. They've They've hit as well as anyone in the county this year. I believe they lead the county in home runs. Just the lineup is stacked, despite not having a ton of pitching. And so they won another game, so they are into the championship. They've gone 3-0 so far. They've saved a lot of their pitching, whereas other teams have had to play these extra elimination games. On the other side of that bracket, San Marcos was the one seed. After losing their opener, they've fought back in every game since. They beat Eastlake yesterday, so that gives them more hope. So them and Eastlake will match up tomorrow, and the winner of that one will head into the championship against Grossmont in open division. Division One's another one I've been excited about. I was down at Point Loma yesterday to see them host Poway, and Point Loma only needed one win to make the championship, but Poway came out, got a complete game from sophomore Ryan Crapel. He's headed to Arizona State, so big performance from him. So Poway fights on for another day, and just like some of these other games, they'll have to go back and play again tomorrow with the true winner of that one heading into the championship. And on the other side of that bracket, maybe the most exciting game of the day, Westview played at Granite Hills. Westview had only needed one win to get to the championship. They're up 4-2 in the seventh inning, and Grant MacArthur, as he has done in recent weeks, walk-off three-run home run for Granite Hills to keep them alive. So they will play again on Thursday. That should be another exciting one. And so many of these divisions undecided with the championship games on Saturday, and we're still here on Wednesday and don't know who will be in it. So it doesn't leave teams a lot of pitching, but as has been the case all year, it's been hitting first really with every team in the county. So whoever gets there, at that point, I don't think they're really concerned about pitching. There's going to be a lot of high scoring games. So some exciting action. We'll have a lot more games tomorrow to figure out who's going to make these championship games.
Great. Yeah, there's some semifinals today in the city and the southern section. But in Division One yesterday, I saw Jay Serra beat Ayala 11-7. And it was the craziest thing. Gage Jump, who's that great pitcher, will probably get drafted next month. The first five batters reached base against him yesterday. I don't want to say he looked shell-shocked, but he was just surprised because that hasn't happened to him this year. He'd allowed one earned run the whole year, and in the first inning he gave up a four spot, which was really surprising. But then he settled down, pitched four scoreless after that, and Jay Serra went on to win 11-7. So they're going to play Harvard Westlake, who had a freshman come out and throw a complete game, Bryce Rayner, which is amazing at that level to be a freshman and throw a complete game. That was really crazy to see. So I really think in this year, Jay Serra was one, Harvard Westlake was two, even though Harvard Westlake beat Jay Serra earlier in the year. But these were the two best teams. And in baseball, it can be tricky to get the best teams in the championship game, especially when it's single elimination, but that's what we're going to get. And that's going to be a fantastic game. I think it's going to be Eric Silva getting the start for Jay Serra, who's a UCLA commit, and then Christian Becerra getting the start for Harvard Westlake, who's an Oregon commit. So great pitching, great hitting, and I can't wait for that game Saturday night. And then Thousand Oaks in Division II ended up winning, as they always do, with their great lineup. They've only lost one game all year. I think they're 28-1. So they're going to play the winner of Camarillo and Tribuco Hills, I think, in that D2 championship. So that's going to be quite the game. And, man, it's crazy it's all coming down to the wire. But that D1 game I'm excited for. And then in the city section, semifinals today, Cleveland against El Camino Real, their league opponents, and then San Pedro against Birmingham. Birmingham is 12-20, so they don't have a good record, but they seem to always win the LA City Section Championship, and they got their two wins away from doing that again. So I'm going to check out them today. That'll be fun. But my big takeaway was just Jay Serra finding a different way to win. Usually it's pitching for them, and yesterday was their lineup. And I know in baseball, one team, one game, anything can happen, but if I was a betting man, I'd probably have Jay Serra as a 1.5 run favorite against Harvard Westlake, even though they're so talented. But just Jay Serra, that team is just something else. So that'll be a fun game Saturday. I think Jay Serra is going to win, but Harvard Westlake's a damn good program, so that'll be fun. Let's wrap up with some top performers. Lance, we can start with you. Do you have anything for softball you want to mention this week? If not, we can go. We can do that next week. But the floor is yours.
I'd love to start with a very quick run through of just 10. I don't want to say the definitive 10 at all, but 10 of the top 15 or 20 player of the year candidates. Of course, we didn't do any softball coverage this year because it was overlapping with basketball. But next year we will do legit softball coverage, like season long. So right now we'll have, in lieu of that, we have some of the best top performers out there on this list. So St. Francis of Mountain View, 26-0, ran away with the Central Coast Section Open Division. Jessica Oakland, I think, had the best season statistically of any hitter on a good team, batting 612 with 55 RBIs and 19 home runs in 26 games. That's filthy. They also have one of the best pitchers in the state, Chloe Cummings, who has she's 12-0, 0.86 ERA, and she also bats 429, top team in the state, undefeated. So that's two of them. Number three, Clovis North, 21, Central Section Division I champ. Ryan Maddox has been arguably the best pitcher in the state, 18-1 with 0.64 ERA, 192 Ks, 130 innings, and she also bats with an OPS over 1,000. Modern-day Catholic, top five team in the state, Giselle Garcia, 19-2, 138 innings, 0.88 ERA, 221 Ks, which might be the most in the state within that level of competition. Hannah Glad at Camarillo, having one of the best hitting seasons of anyone in the Southern Section. They're 17-1, 489, five home runs, OPS well over 1.5. Kylie Chung of Westlake is arguably the best pitcher-hitter dual threat. She's batting nearly 500 with eight home runs, and then she's also 17-1, over 100 innings on in the circle, 0.6 ERA, filthy. Victoria Ray of Notre Dame Salinas helped get them to the Open Division final in the Central Coast Section, batting close to 600, also OPS over 1.5. Brooke Thompson of Rockland bats over 350. She's 11-2 with 0.94 ERA, 135 Ks in 90 innings. And lastly, Jaylee Ojo of Sheldon. Sheldon maybe played the hardest schedule of just about any team in the state. She still batted over 500 with 11 homers, and then 10-1 with under 2 ERA. Lastly, Michaela Castor of Oaks Christian. She went 16-3, 0.75 ERA, and she bats close to 500 in three home runs. So that's just a taste of some of the best, just the who's who of softball this season. And then in basketball, I saw a couple outstanding performances last night. Aishel Hernandez of Orangewood Academy, the day after signing with Cal State Fullerton, goes for a career-high 29 points and 11 rebounds, state playoff victory over Carlsbad. Hannah Steins also had a triple-double in that game, 15 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists, added three blocks. They've been one of the best dynamic duos, as Dan Albano of the Orange County Register said, in the whole Southern Section. Really, the two of them running the show, carrying a heavy offensive load for the fourth seed in the Open Division. So I finally got to see them last night.
Amazing. Thank you, Lance. We always want to be all-inclusive, so we know the softball coverage hasn't totally been there this year because it's been such a crazy year, so I appreciate you sharing out those female athletes. That is great, and we'll be up and running next year with that. Bodie, let's go to you. Top performers.
Yeah, the first one I'll mention, I talked about Nick Herman, the three-point buzzer beater, but he also had 30 points in the game, was 14 of 15 at the free throw line. So make sure I include it wasn't just one shot that capped that for him. And then I'll go Elise Miller from Sampa Squall, incredible day on Saturday. She captured the Division I San Diego Section Championship in the high jump, the long jump, the triple jump, and the 100-meter hurdles. So it set some section records along the way. So grabbing four CIF titles in one day is something not many people can see in their lifetime. Wow. Miller Sanchez from Modern Day Catholic, he had 20 points, 14 rebounds in the D1 championship. They took down La Costa Canyon down here. And then Grant MacArthur, I mentioned him earlier. Over the weekend, he went 3 for 3, two home runs and a double in an elimination game. And then yesterday, again in an elimination game, hit the three-run walk-off home run. So he's on fire recently, and I would expect when they play tomorrow that would be someone Westview will not want to pitch to.
For sure. For me, too, in basketball, David Elliott won the Open Division Championship with Birmingham over Westchester. They did it on the road at Westchester. He scored 30 points and was the best player on the floor in that game, which was a very impressive win. His teammate James Noble scored 13 points in the second quarter, so he had a big quarter, finished with, I think, 16. So those two had great games. And then in baseball, I talk about Jay Serra a lot, but I got to go with Luke Jewett, who was 3 for 3 with a walk, and he hit a two-run home run, which tied the game in the fourth. Or, excuse me, tied the game. I think it was earlier than the fourth, but tied the game at four against Ayala. And it was one of those no-doubters. It was off the bat, you just look up and say, okay, that one's gone. That was crushed. And then JCR had two other players hit home runs. Cody Schreier hit a home run. And then earlier, Colin Blanchard hit a three-run home run. And I think it was his first of the year, and all the coaches were giving him a lot of grief, like, finally, about time. But it was a really big home run for them, so that was funny to hear. He's committed to Washington, so definitely a player to watch. Awesome. Well, we got, like I said, a week and a half to go here. I think Saturday will be really, really busy, but that should be the last crazy, crazy day of the year. And then we'll turn our attention to softball and baseball regional championships, and then a little bit of a summer break for the 4th of July, so that'll be nice. For Lance Smith and Bodie DeSilva, I'm Connor Morissette. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.